Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Let's have a meeting here at my office.
We did attempt to have the meeting, and I did drive.
The driving, so, you got
so
damn that, good.
That's but a little out of balance now, because I did my drive. But
it's not out of balance, because, you know, you were driving and I was waiting. But the important thing is we didn't
meet. Well, the
waiting,
there's a lot to do while you're waiting. There's nothing to do while you're driving.
Mike Shope.
Let's accomplish that. That's all.
Well, we attempted to have the meeting, but it was aborted.
We attempted and we failed. Let's have that meeting.
We're having that meeting right now.
The Bulldog.
This is not a meeting about the show. This is a meeting about having a meeting.
I know, but the intention is the same. Don't you understand? I drove here with the same intention.
The driving is not the meeting,
Larry. Driving is what we're talking
about. The
driving is what we're talking about.
You keep coming back to this insane thing with driving.
Yes.
Driving is not the issue. Did we make
I think driving is the issue.
Who's we had a singular plan.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
As that show, by the way, Curb Your Enthusiasm, is in the middle of taping its 10th season. Like, that's a draft pick that really has worked out for me. Most of those sitcoms we drafted are long gone. I took Curb, and there was a little bit of future value in that. That show is back.
Yeah.
Still going. We lost Super Dave.
Yeah, right.
We lost, what was his character? Bob?
Funkhauser.
Marty Funkhauser. Bob Einstein was his name.
Yeah.
Marty Funkhauser. Thank you, Joe.
I don't remember. I'd have to dig into the archives here. Did I get some cartoons there? Did I get Family Guy? Did I get Simpsons? I don't remember now.
I don't know.
Because those shows are still going strong. I fell into a Family Guy run. Like, I don't know if it's definitely not every night, but there's definitely at least one night a week where that is just on from like 7 until I fall asleep. On TNT or one of those channels, just Family Guy. The whole guide is just Family Guy. And it's, okay, I'm going to hang out and do some of this.
Bulldog, you went Seinfeld, Parks and Rec, The Mary Tyler Moore Show, Family Guy,
okay,
Taxi, Louie, and Barney Miller.
Louie.
And the Bob Newhart Show.
Oh, hang my head in shame.
That show had... Perhaps it seemed future value, but it turned out...
No, not so much.
It turned out to back... That backfired.
No, yeah.
Mike took Sex in the City, by the way.
Yes, I did. That. Yes, I did.
Wow.
I was trying to impress Mary Alice. I thought that might impress Mary Alice. She was in here for that. I have a history of really strange, terrible last-round picks in these drafts.
Yes. Yes, you do.
By the end of them, I'm just fooling around.
Right.
Maybe in my real drafts, that's true. I don't even know. I haven't thought about it. Do I just sort of, am I drinking and then just sort of like really sloppy at the end of the draft? I might be. Here's a Sabres question for right now.
Okay.
What do we want to do by Monday? And you can use the GM's comments from yesterday, if you choose to, as, you know, guidance, I guess. Like, one way to put yesterday is to say he did not seem to be feeling any urgency coming up.
Right.
And Rob, but that doesn't have to matter. And Rob was talking about Beaulieu possibly, like a trade like that, but everything else waits. So maybe that's right to expect. And if so, you know, there's maybe not a lot to say about it.
Yeah. I've got my expectation level set pretty low. I mean, I'll be here. And I'm not expecting it to be real hot, you know, like that they'll do stuff. It might be hot because they don't do anything, but even then, like, what are you really expecting? What would I like to see? Well, some evidence that supports that this isn't going as well as maybe it should be. You're in charge of this team. can you make a move that is smart and improves you? Not so much to like, try to make a run for the playoffs, but like, is there a piece that you could trade that would, you know, more of like a hockey trade, not a rental, I want to try to make a run for it, but is someone out there of the mind to make a trade for a hockey player who's young, who's under contract, who, you know, they might really like, and it just, like, it's not working for us with our guy, so let's just try to do this. Like, Ristolainen is the name for this. And it's not my not my hill to die on, necessarily. I still think this is a player that, if slotted appropriately, we're only 1 year into Dahlin. Like, Dahlin, winning the lottery and getting Dahlin, like, a part of that was going to be eventually I don't have to play rest with Ristolainen 25 minutes a night. And, like, maybe I can still get his offensive production, and he's not on the ice in every key situation, and thus hurting me as often as he does. But, like, that said, like, I'm open to trading him if I can make a trade that makes sense for me. If I can get a 25-year-old player with term, like, I'm definitely open to that. I'd love to see it. Just because, while he's not a huge problem for me, I recognize what his detractors, you chief among them, say about him and respect it. So I think I could get better if I did something there. So show me you've got a pulse that you want the team to be very different next year. Trading someone who plays almost half the game for you would be very significant. You'd have to be different next year. It would force you to be different. It's like trading O'Reilly. O'Reilly played almost half the game for you up front, and he wasn't the problem on the ice that Ristolainen represents often enough, but it was significant. Like, I'm going to have to fix this. I'm going to have to do something else. So I'm up for that.
There has not been, to my knowledge, one rumor about him.
No. Bro,
then I go back to how the GM sounded.
Right. Like, what would I like to see? I'd like to see that. I don't expect it.
You really would?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd like to see some. I want them to get better, you know? I don't want to have to necessarily have to cover up for deficiencies. It would mostly be an admit. It's not my favorite idea, but it's an idea that would respect that this isn't going the way it should be going. We should be better than we are. Why aren't we better than we are? This is one reason why. Okay, let's try to fix that. Instead of, well, he plays 25 minutes a night, I can't trade him. And I don't know if they're that dug in.
No, I don't know.
But I'd consider it.
I would think that they like him a lot. There's just been all evidence has pointed to that through the years. I mean, you have gotten from coaches, it'd be nice if he didn't have to play as much, but he still plays. Like, he did come off the power play. And I'm surprised to hear you say you would love that trade.
I want them to figure out how to change the course they're on. And I think that might be, what's a better idea? It's big money, it's big minutes. This isn't working. So love it is a little, like, I don't know. Did I say the word love come out of
so.
My... I don't know if I'd love it. I'd love them admitting that they need to make a change that's significant. I don't know that I love that idea, but I don't have a better one. Like, who else fits? It's a little like O'Reilly. Like, I didn't love that O'Reilly had to be traded. But you sort of, by process of elimination, you look at the roster and, like, what's significant? How do I impact the group? Like, what am I trying to accomplish here? And I think you feed that information in. I didn't do this. Feed that information into the computer, and the name it spits out is Ryan O'Reilly. Salary, age, value, chemistry, all the stuff that you're trying to fix. Okay, well, I guess I'm going to do that. Ristolainen sort of rates in that way to me. Similar. So I don't need him off of my team. But I want to get better, so I'm listening to that.
Well, I can't tell you how much the Sabres like him, but they've paid him, they've played him. There's just, I have no evidence at all to suggest that, except for the power play thing, which is relatively minor, that they just don't still feel that way about him. The big difference, as I see it, is that they felt, apparently, by all accounts, they felt that O'Reilly, with the rest of the players they had, at least the ones that mattered, was oil and water. So they perhaps, I mean, I could see Jason Botterill recognizing Ryan O'Reilly's abilities to the fullest and still deciding to get him out of here. I'll give Botterill, I would consider this a compliment. I would want to give him the respect that he thought O'Reilly is fully the player that he has proven to be, even when he played for the Sabres, friends. So I think that that was mostly, if not entirely, culture. And I haven't ever heard anything about Ristolainen that isn't that he's one of the boys. Like, mm-hmm. I've just always felt like he's one of the boys. Like, he fits in great. I don't know. Like, I hope everybody hears this and realizes, like, I'm not reporting on that. I'm just telling you that I've never heard anything about that.
Same here.
So, for me, Ristolainen would be the Sabres maybe have finally figured out that he doesn't help them very much. Like, maybe they've finally figured that out. And I would be very excited about that because I need them to start looking to me like a team, like for my way of thinking, et cetera, that they understand stuff. You know, they've gotten rid of a bunch of guys that were making them better, and they just seem to not notice. So I think that would be a very exciting thing. The idea that they had to trade O'Reilly is not literally correct. It's just that that was what they decided. You feel like you have to do something.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, life is like that sometimes, and that's what they did. They've got fans, and they've got Eichel, and that is what they chose to do. But that culture business, I mean, what do defenders of all that say about this Sabre season? They took a guy who was a very valuable, a provably valuable player, and traded him away for guys that the Blues didn't want because they really weren't helping the Blues, and they were overpaid. A prospect who's in this lineup every night, doesn't really accomplish very much, I would say, and a draft pick. And are the Sabres, like I asked you earlier, you agreed with me that how would the Sabres be a worse team than they are if they hadn't made, if you undid that trade and O'Reilly is on their team? Like, there might be more infighting or
But
you know, more sadness.
How much worse would the results be? I mean, I don't know. I mean, they were that team last year, minus Dahlin. You know, I think his being here might even just be enough to push you to where you are now, improvement-wise.
Sure.
I mean, he's that significant. I think he's only going to grow in significance. So,
so as miserable as they were, they had 70-some points. This year will be in the 80s, probably.
I just have a curiosity. I really, to me, it is a very similar exercise to O'Reilly. I understand that it surprises you because we've argued about him repeatedly for years here, and I still like the player. And I think, but it's mostly about value. Like, what can I do that is significant, not just symbolically, but like on the ice, that is going to impact dramatically my fortunes? And you go down the roster. And I'm sorry, there's not another name there that makes sense. There just isn't. There's not a contract. There's not age. There's not production. There just isn't a guy.
There's not another guy that anybody would want.
Right.
That, like, Reinhardt is somebody like that, but Reinhardt's a great price. He's a very nice player. I do not want to see the Sabres move him.
No, I think ultimately you have to. Right now, my dream scenario for Reinhardt is that he is riding on a wing with Mittelstadt when Mittelstadt is fully formed. And that's I've got Eichel and Skinner and whoever, and I've got Mittelstadt and Reinhardt, and I'm just going to say whoever, and maybe that's Tage Thompson eventually, whatever it is. And that's he's an important piece of the top two lines of this team if he's not playing on that top line alone.
What about McCabe for that?
I think
because that is at least a piece that someone else would want.
Yep. Yeah. And it's more cost controlled. He's an RFA, right?
I think that's a minor trade.
I don't think he rates as Ristolainen. There's not the traditional stats. There's not scoring, really, is what it is. I mean, Ristolainen is on pace for a 50-point season. I mean, that's a nice season. If I can move him after that, even, or during that, I still expect I'm going to do pretty well in that. McCabe, I don't think, is anywhere near that level. I like McCabe, Like a part of me not wanting to do it is he's more reasonably priced. I'm going to have to find that production somewhere else if I move Ristolainen. But I kind of like McCabe at a moderate price moving forward, $3-4 million, something like that.
Let's go to Anthony here. Hi, Anthony.
How you doing today, gentlemen?
Great. Thank you for calling.
Good. I'm a Leaf fan, but I listen to your show every single day because of you folks. I think you guys do a fabulous job because you guys are critics as well. You're not homers. I think that you guys are fantastic. But my point is that, last year a lot of the conversation was, after the season, everybody kind of wanted to part away with O'Reilly. And personally, I think that it was a horrible trade. I know you got a first-round pick, but you have to remember you also paid $7.5 million in salary, in the bonus story. And a lot of the reason why he was gone was based on some of the comments that he made, to the media. But let's not forget all the comments that Jack Eichel made. And I personally don't think that... Jack Eichel, well, he's a great hockey player. He's someone that you can build a team around. I know that's his preference, but his character and his, and a lot of the toxic conversations that comes up, coaching changes. I think a lot of it, the dialect comes right around Jack Eichel. And
what does it mean to say the dialect comes around him?
The dialect, like all the conversation about the coaching. We all know that Jack Eichel advocated for the coach to be fired. He wasn't a fan of. Elsewhere there, and there's conversation over on this side that you hear that he just doesn't buy into people's that they're.
Are you saying that you have some reason to think that that's the case now? Are we? It sounds like you're just trying to spit out that he's to blame for a lot more than there are examples of.
So in your opinion, then he's somebody you can build around. And he's a leader. He's somebody that can.
In my opinion, he's an elite level player who is paid like it. And they have committed to, and that's the end of it. I mean, that is just the end of it. I don't blame him for whatever background, private, internal stuff there really might be. I mean, I guess there could be things that I just have no clue about that could be true. But like, you sort of sound like you're assuming there is stuff like that, and I am not. I don't walk around like that. So he is an elite level offensive player. He drives play. My team is way worse without him, and that's good enough for me. That's what I'm paying him for. The fact that he wears the C is important to a lot of people. I don't care. I'm not asking. Well, maybe they are, but I'm not thinking about whether Jack Eichel is going to teach other guys how to play in the league.
And the last comment too. I think that you guys are a lot worse without. Ryan O'Reilly, in my opinion, too. I think he's an elite, level hockey player that plays both ways. But.
Yeah, okay, thanks. How did I do? I answered him and then he moved on.
I think where we are with Jack is, to me, I mean, he's absolutely a tremendous player. He's having his best year, and I think he's maturing. And I think mostly... I'm assuming everything is great on that front, and I also hope that it is. Because if it's not, if he's any of what the caller was attempting to represent that he is, we're screwed. Because he's under contract for 8 more years at $10 million. He's got to be everything that you need him to be. On the ice and off the ice, leadership, he's got to be all of that. He's got to be an example. He's got to be a pro. He's got to be great. That's it. And if he's not, we're cooked. Just like your team is built around that guy, and he's got a lot to carry. This is the conversation we had an hour ago with Rob Ray. Like, there's a lot that comes with it.
In a sense, it's the conversation we had a year ago about O'Reilly. Like, I've got provable performance from the player, and what this might sound like I'm saying that this is just convenient for me. But it happens to be easier. But the bottom line is, I've got provable performance from the player. And whatever somebody heard about that is happening within the locker room or late at night at some bar doesn't matter. It's all folded into what I'm getting. What I'm getting suffices. In the end, and you agreed with this. You have always agreed with this. The player the Sabres acquired from the Avalanche, O'Reilly, is the player that played for them.
Mm-hmm.
He did not play worse for them. But The Sabres decided he had to go anyway. There was someone else in charge and decided he had to go anyway. And as I told the guy who just called, what I am getting from Eichel, I'll take. I'm getting a high-end center. He is not thinking about talking to Travis. And Travis, I defer to on this because he's better. He's good at this. Like he's not an elite scorer, goal scorer, but just and I'm not gonna. I don't care that much what he is like on the walls in their own zone. Like he's not here for that. I'm paying for what he does well, and he does well what he is supposed to be doing well. So the rest of it, like if you have your everybody will have their own taste. The Sabres GM, coaches, they'll have their own taste. And they might want certain behaviors from Eichel or might have wanted them from O'Reilly. For me, okay, but that's not more important because what I get in the player is commensurate with what I think I should be getting.
The problem, I think, lies in if there becomes a perception within the team that the player, and this may have been O'Reilly, and maybe it even still is O'Reilly, although he's having a far greater year point production wise this year than he ever had in his career. Like he's never been a point per game player, and he's that. He's even in excess of that at this point. So I don't know if something changed for him or it's just usage. I mean, I can't imagine usage being different. He can't be playing more than he played here. Nobody played more. That's right. It might not be as defensive,
right?
Oriented anyway. If a perception becomes within a team that the guy who is that capable, who's giving me the production, you're happy with it, but he's not maxing out. He's not giving you everything he could be giving you for whatever reason. And that doesn't have to be just along the walls, but that can be lifestyle. That can be a lot of things. That can really be damaging to a team. If you want everyone to buy in and max out, then the lead guy better be buying in and maxing out. And if he's not, I think you're in trouble. I believe that. I think the best player, if he's capable of more and everyone knows it, I've got a problem.
Well, you have to figure out how to address it if you have that problem.
Right, and I'm not saying I do. I'm just saying you better hope against hope you don't.
What they did last year is get rid of the highest paid player at the time they've ever had. And as this season is playing out, it's right to consider that a controversial move. And, in the future, if guys aren't buying into him, you replace them. Eichel is like, some fans talk about, well, the players have to listen to the coach. The coach is the boss. And we'll say, well, the players are really the boss in pro sports. Mm-hmm. And, like, Eichel is that coach figure that those fans want the coach to be. He's like
right.
Absolutely all the way locked in.
Right. And that guy has to be respected.
If that's
going to work, that's really the point here. So, that has to be on the up and up to me. And I'm not at all implying that I don't think it is. It's merely to say, if it isn't, we're screwed. Because there's no way of fixing that. And I think it's very difficult to overcome that.
And I'll just say again, for the third or fourth or fifth year in a row, get me defensemen who can pass the puck up the ice, and I will not hear about or think about these sort of issues. I still believe that. 803-0550, sports next on WGR.
I think Tom Coughlin's going to send Leonard Fournette to the Bills.
The Bills.
The
same team that he had the fight with. And it's a three-team trade.
Oh.
Stick with me, okay? So the Bills get Leonard Fournette. The Eagles get to reunite with LeSean McCoy. I think he still has. And the Jaguars get their quarterback.
Who'd they get?
And Nick Foles.
Nick Foles.
It works out for everyone. Literally, guys, pick up the phone. Just hit send. It's all done for you. Get Leonard Fournette. Eagles get their running back.
Send the
facts. Nick Foles gets to go play in Jacksonville. We're ready to go.
That is David Carr, who, when I hear his name, the first thing I think of is how it said a Super Bowl winner, Super Bowl champion on the graphic. NFL Network, David Carr. I don't know if this is like a real idea. This is what I think is going to happen, but I don't know if he really thinks it's going to happen or it's just like, here's an idea I had that could make sense. Can't tell you. One of the two.
Is Foles going to just buy his way out of Philly, though? Like, is he, they,
well, there's an argument that they should let him go.
Right.
But they haven't done that. I don't know if that is something that happens now or can be announced now or something, but to my knowledge, he is still theirs.
Right, they picked up the option. So he has to buy his way out of that option.
Even if he does that, then they could franchise tag and then trade him.
I see. Okay.
Fournette. All right, that'd be kind of exciting. Here is Al with us. Hello, Al.
Hey, guys. I just had a couple comments just about the Sabres here. One, about Ristolainen, I really just cannot understand. Like, if the Sabres do trade him, I can't even begin to fathom it. He's the most aggressive guy on our team. Guys go into the boards with him. They're afraid to go into the boards. He's the most aggressive, most toughest player, and everyone can see it.
But he's so lacking at so many other things that are probably even more important. I mean, it's just been 400 games of losing, and you've got a guy who's playing the most minutes on your team. Wouldn't you even just suspect that he might be holding you back? Like, wouldn't that sort of be the common sense thought here that, I mean...
Given the change of the team, you know, I really feel like it's a coaching slash GM issue. I mean, let's face it, Botterill got burned, you know, with that Blues trade, you know, and...
What does that have to do with Ristolainen?
Well, no, it doesn't. I'm just saying it's. I feel like maybe the reason why Risto's not having such a great year defensively might be, you know, maybe some of the people he's around, some of the new people he's playing with, Dahlin. But from a toughness, stature, and given how tough our team actually is, which is not very tough at all, you know.
Most of these players are the same players. Like, I don't know. I've just heard every excuse for him for 5 years, and I just can't anymore.
I've liked the player a lot. I like his toughness. I like his production. But I need to try to get better is what I need to try to do. And
if we trade him, we need to get someone tough.
You don't need to get someone tough. You need to get someone good. That's what you need to get. There's no toughness point here. There's a talent point, a quality point here. That's what they need. What's Zach Bogosian, Al? What's Bogosian?
Bogosian's having the best year, and we've had him for so long. And I mean,
well, how would you describe him?
I would describe him as a tough.
Okay.
Defenseman.
Tough. There's another one. Okay. Who else? I mean, you watch other teams. Like, it's tough isn't really the word. It's good. Good is the word. Can I pass the puck to the forward, or am I going to ice it, or am I going to dump it in, or am I going to give it away? This is the essence of the Ristolainen argument. It's not that he isn't tough. I just don't care. I mean, if we're measured by tough, we're just screwed. And
right.
That's my opinion. I've heard every argument for no, he's actually good for years, and I'm just done. I mean, this team continues to be terrible somehow anyway. And now it's, you know, somebody else's. It's always going to be somebody else's doing.
Yeah, another comment then I'll let you guys go. I really think there's something got to be done with this coaching, maybe the GM. I'm not saying now. I may say at like the end of the year, let's reevaluate, see who's out there. You know, I mean, if Quenneville could take kids that are 21 years old, you know, like Kane and Taze, like we have our guys now, and make a Stanley Cup run now, I don't think there's any reason why our team, I mean, because they praise, oh, we're young, but it's like, you know, teams made dynasties at this time when they were playing, you know, with kids at the age of 22, 23, you know, and so that excuse, I just can't stand. I feel like there just needs to be something done around the coaching, around the GM to get the culture to make this a winning team, you know, and have the confidence to win. Because in that 10-game winning streak, there's so much confidence.
What happened to it?
Yeah.
What happened to it? What happened to it? Guess what happened to it? Something more important intervened. Quality.
Yep.
Confidence is not the thing. Toughness is not, thank you, Al, not the thing. Quality is the thing.
Toughness can be a thing. It is not the most important thing. This team they're going to play tonight, Tampa, is super, the talent is undeniable. High-end super talent. But what strikes me when I watch them play, and I watch them play pretty frequently, and, you know, they've got the benefit of just running teams over offensively because they're so deep and talented. But watch the Sabres try to get to the Tampa now. We don't have Hedman. Hedman's a game-time decision, and he's at the very front of this point. But that is super skill and big and tough. And there's other size on that blue line that is very difficult to get to the front of the net on. So, like, while size and toughness does not trump the skill that those players have or the high-end forward skill that Tampa has, it is a thing that I think makes them so tough to beat. Like, they can dance on you, but they are also hard to play against in the traditional sense that you are going to have to pay a price to get to their net, and you're going to have a hard time scoring, you know, cheap, dirty goals on them because of their size and toughness. But it's matched with the skill. Like, there's a tandem there. You can't just have Hal Gill standing on your goal crease cross-checking people. You've got to be able to do both things, and they've got enough guys that do both of those things on that blue line. It's a big group of guys back there, led, of course, by Hedman at the very front of it. But there's a lot of size there.
Also, you need to have the puck, which is hard against them, isn't it? Like, are they not great at everything?
One of the goalie's reasons, great. Yeah, right. I mean, you get the puck in their zone and get a good shot on goal. Their goalie's excellent. You get a good shot on goal, and there's a rebound there, and guess what? Guess what I'm not getting to? I'm not getting through McDonough. I'm not getting through Colburn. I'm not getting through Hedman. I'm not getting through, is Schuster still there? Like, I'm having a hard time getting through those guys.
I don't know how they are in terms of possession. I've never really bothered to look. They shoot the puck. They're the best shooting team with the high-end stars that they have who can score.
Strahlman is who I wanted there. Sergachev. I don't think Schuster's still there anyway. But
goalie's great, right?
Yep.
The goalie plays tonight. All right. Here's Rick with us. Hello, Rick.
Hi. Yes, gentlemen. Good afternoon.
Hiya.
I got another thought on the O'Reilly situation, and I wonder how much of it he may be wanted out, and if it's becoming a little bit of a pattern. Not to say that he's not a fantastic player, great two-way player, excellent talent, but when he was in Colorado, his first few years were very good and successful. He, you know, led the way, and then all of a sudden, Duchene and Lagiskog come in, and they're going to be the go-to guys. Now, he's here in his first year or two, are pretty good years on a bad team. Now Eichel comes in, and all of a sudden
they came in at the same time, but
they started together.
Yeah,
guy and
Rick.
Yes,
O'Reilly and Eichel started together.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Well, then you know,
it doesn't totally undo the point you're trying to make. I just wanted to make sure you knew that they were here. They started in the same season.
Well, what is the? Yeah. Then I don't understand the point.
Well, my point is that if he realizes he's not going to be the go-to guy, does this change his attitude on a particular team? Now, he goes to say...
No idea. Is this worth trying to figure out? There's no idea. We're still not going to be able to figure it out. He's really good.
Right. Oh, yeah, there's no question.
He proved it. Whether he was upset or anything like that should be secondary to how he did. He performed.
Right. I'm just wondering if he forced their hand to want out when it became apparent that Eichel was going to be the centerpiece of the team. It would be sad because you could have Malkin and Crosby coexist.
Eichel was always going to be... I don't know how O'Reilly thought about it. He and I are not friends. I know that Eichel was... I thought Eichel was always going to be the centerpiece of the team. Like, that was what it was all for. And O'Reilly was meant to compliment him. And he was paid a crazy amount of money, so he should never have been, easy for me to say, perhaps, self-conscious about what his status was with the Sabres. When he signed, he was the highest paid player in franchise history before he took the ice. I mean, there's no need to psychoanalyze this. It gets you into enough trouble already. You have good players, you want to keep them, and you want to use them, and you want to make it so that whatever, I mean, like yesterday you said, I just would love to know or want to think that they did their utmost to facilitate you know, a good relationship there, and maybe they did, or maybe they didn't. Maybe they just didn't notice or care.
I don't know, but I do think he forced their hand with what he said at the end of the season. I think you have a very hard time having a guy on your team that says, I lost the love for playing the game.
That's fine. And I don't want to argue against that, but it's still up to you. It's still up to you to prevent that in the first place. It's up to you to not have players be miserable. It's up to you. You have a role in that, right? Remember?
Sure.
The great Jim Kelly, the writer, one time we were on together when the Hasek drama was playing out. And I'm like, well, Jim, you know, we were on the air together on a regular basis. And I'm like, well, Jim, if he says he wants to be traded, then you have to trade him. He's like, no, you don't. He always, I just remember him saying, "You don't have to. It's still your choice to do that. It's not right. It's not his call. It's yours." And the Sabres just sort of bailed out on that, right? And gave him to Detroit for Kozlov, who was one of, I guess, many really miserable Buffalo Sabres players.
Maybe the most miserable Maybe. Of all time.
You know, from Kozlov to Leno to this guy, like everybody just to Berglund quits. Everybody just hates it here. Maybe it's us. Sabres Lightning pregame at 6:30 tonight on WGR.
Get you today's deal of the day here. Getting in a cold car is no fun, so skip scraping ice off your windows with a keyless car starter from B&R Auto Accessories. Right now, you get a $349 starter for just $249, only from My Buffalo Perks. Details at MyBuffaloPerks.com.
Do you have an opinion on whether I think if you do, I could guess it, but okay. I want to ask you anyway. Zion Williamson.
Whew. Man, that's mixed up, man. I think he probably shouldn't play anymore. He's going to be the first pick in the draft, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I but you know what's the pressure?
So easy to say, right?
Right. They gave you this platform. I mean, you were going to play somewhere, but you agreed, like, this is the system. I'm going to go play college basketball for a year and establish that I deserve to be the first pick in the draft. Like, I don't know, if he doesn't play at all in college, what happens to him? Does he get picked first overall anyways?
Well, now they need to play a year, right?
Right. The NBA, well, that's right. You can't do that anymore, right? No high school. So you got to like take part in the system. So do you feel like you owe Duke now a run through the March, through the tournament?
Maybe. Yeah, that's what I would feel.
Maybe. I think you do. I think you feel that. But, man, God, it's got to be hard. You know, I think about, like, if it were, like, my kid and there's some big stake out there. Right, if he's lucky enough to keep playing and has a chance to go to college someday and has more games that don't really mean that much and he's already got the college thing set, like, I'm going to want him to not blow his knee out really badly. Just like, dude, just get to the garage. Get to college.
I mean, I guess I would say I wouldn't blame him for quitting and just taking it to the pros, but it would take a lot of courage to do that. Because you'd be remembered for that, you'd be heavily criticized for that. A lot of people would also defend you, including probably most NBA players. But, you know, there's also the experience. And assuming he's not badly hurt, even if he were, like, he tore an ACL or something like that, like, he would be back. He'd come back from that.
Right.
So I wouldn't criticize him if he left Duke. But be pretty brave to do that. Brave or brazen or both. Let's talk to Scott here real quick. Hi, Scott. We got about a minute.
Hi. How are you today?
Good.
Good. So I'm a frustrated fan like everyone else. I live in Toronto. I work in Toronto. I listen to you every day. And I am so doubly frustrated because I'm surrounded by Leaf Nation that where their rebuild is well on its way. They're a contender in the East. And I just wanted to just express my frustration and specifically mention, I don't think this has anything to do with coaching. I think this has to do with personnel decisions. If you rank the two teams, we got Eichel, they got Austin Matthews. We got Reinhart, they got Mitch Marner. We sign Okposo, who, in my opinion, is very, you know, underwhelming free agent pickup. And, you know, they have Nylander and Kapanen, and the list goes on. And I just wanted to express, you know, the morning show stating holding the team to a higher standard. I've really gotten behind that, and I agree with it, because I'm so frustrated in the lack of quality personnel decisions. And I think that's what's making up the team that we have now, which is, you know, just not good enough. And if you go down the roster from top to bottom of the Sabres compared to the Leafs, both bottomed out at the same time. I think your answer is very clear, and I don't think it's a Housley issue. I don't think Babcock is some magician coach.
But how can you deny him?
But how?
I mean, you make a point. But how can you deny the coaching part with Babcock? Like, when has he ever not had a good team? The 1 year in Toronto before they won that lottery, like, they still had the smart stats. They were pretty good. We said it all the time. Like, this team is not terrible. They're in last, but they're not terrible. People will do backflips to avoid regarding the numbers, but they're there and they're right woven into these conversations we're having every day about these guys all season. So, you know, of course there are personnel decisions that haven't worked out here, but just to say, I don't think it's coaching. I don't think it's Mike Babcock versus Phil Housley. Come on. Like, look at his career. Look at his career. Just how can you deny that? How can you just deny that? I mean, that's a mistake.
I don't think I really heard, well, the way it's used now, puck possession, prior to Mike Babcock and the run he had in Detroit. Like, that was their game. And, like, the first time I ever heard those words used, the way they're used currently all around hockey, was in describing how the Red Wings played. And that was Babcock. And he's brought that with him everywhere he's been, and he's in Toronto, and it's right. They finished last, and they were a plus team in that department, even when they finished last.
Yeah, like, I never even hear the Sabres talk about it. we pushed Tim Murray on it, a little bit botterill, not really, hasn't come up too many times. Anyway, thank you, Scott. We'll get to sports and then talk some more. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, 6:30 pregame tonight on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.